So I started a program called Lifestyle Medicine. And before I get started, I'd like to give you a little story. First of all, are you aware that 75% of people fear public speaking? Some fear it so much they'd pick death over public speaking. So with that, little story about when I was in high school and we'd have to give a speech, I was conveniently, I'd lose my voice every time I had to give a speech. If I had to do a solo in choir, laryngitis again. So I was very thankful that I was done with high school, moved on to my career as being a physician assistant. And when I got to college and realized that one of the classes was a speech class, and I thought, oh my gosh, I am never going to need this speech class. Why do I have to take this? And here I am. So why am I doing this then if public speaking isn't one, if I'm not in that 25%? I've been a PA since in family medicine since 1993. Over the past 20 years, I've seen a lot of illness, and I've seen it at an alarming rate. Things that we saw primarily in adults, we're seeing in younger and younger patients. And in fact, some of the children are now getting these diseases. Our bodies are being overtaken by disease and illness. And if you've noticed, being sick seems to have become the new norm. I know there was a time that I would go into work and a coworker and I would stand there and compare what our ailment was for that day. What I've learned over those years is that many of these illnesses will subside or completely resolve with cleaning up the diet. So if we're eating healing foods and not foods that trigger inflammation, we can get a lot of these illnesses and diseases that creep into our bodies to completely go away. So, a bag of oranges and a prescription bottle, what do the two have in common? So I have a great story here. I had a good friend of mine call me from the grocery store, and she said, Jody, you're never going to believe this. I'm standing here, and I see this guy pick up a bag of oranges. He grumbled about the price being $8, and he put it back down. And I said, I wonder if that same guy would go over to the pharmacy, get his prescription, and say, wow, this was only $8. So my goal is to teach you that food is your medicine. And Hippocrates has a great saying, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. So my goal today is to teach you the knowledge that you need to employ healthier habits in order to improve on current health and prevent future illness. Even if you are already dealing with illness, we can change that. Can we change it 100%? Who knows, but we can change it. I thought this was pretty interesting to include, and this is, and again, I've been practicing since 1993, so for the past 20 years, I've seen this increase in these illnesses. Asthma increased by 300%, ADD, attention deficit disorder, up by 400%, allergies, and we're going to touch on allergies later in the lecture, up by 400%. Autism has increased by 1,500 to 6,000%. Some of the debate will say it's because we've got better awareness. If we have better awareness, where are the 30-year-old people who have autism? And autoimmune disease now affects 1 in 12 people. Autoimmune is where the body attacks itself. I'm a firm believer that our bodies were not created to attack ourselves. And with 1 in 12, that tells me there's a problem. There's something creating enough chaos in our bodies that we're attacking our own selves. So the standard American diet, and I hope something stands out there, maybe the SAD. So if we look at this, this is a pretty typical breakfast, lunch, dinner. And what I'm going to do is let you look at a few ingredients. And what I want to point out is this is only one list of ingredients, one from each thing. So if I said to you, I want you to keep a food log for me, I want you to write down everything that you put in your body, make sure you have a sharp pencil because you're going to be writing. So the first one is just the hash browns. And what I want to point out, if you look at the hash browns, I crack up every time I see this. Dimethyl polysiloxane added as an anti-foaming agent. This is in our food. So I picture, you know, hash browns, you go to some of these fast food chains and you order hash browns. And what if they forget to put in the anti-foaming agent? Do we see people like foaming at the mouth? The second one is the chicken nuggets. And what we do in our family is I just buy chicken tenders. I make my own chicken nuggets, and it's chicken. And one thing that comes to mind when I look at that one is I remember back when we were growing up and my mom would say, hey, run to the neighbors and see if they have any eggs, or I'm out of sugar, I'm out of flour. Can you see if the neighbors have that? I just can't imagine me asking my kids, can you run next door and see if the neighbor has some sodium tripolyphosphate? And then the interesting thing in the hot dogs is, first of all, there's a ton of ingredients. Second, I noticed that they include enzymes. So what that tells me, enzymes, our bodies use enzymes to help our food to digest. So apparently, this hot dog is not going to digest very well unless they add some enzymes to it. So read your labels. Read ingredients. So the desk analogy, and I definitely need you to grasp this concept. Very, very important, and patients of mine know this. They hear this probably every visit. We talk about the desk analogy. So if you look at this person at the desk, we've got on the desk blood pressure, regulate blood sugar, metabolism, and protect us. And these are some of the things that our bodies should be able to do for us. Things like fight illnesses, viruses, bacteria, protect us from cancerous cells. It regulates hormones such as your thyroid, testosterone, estrogen, regulate cholesterol levels. So what happens is when we end up with too much work, these piles become too high. And instead of our body able to regulate our blood pressure, now we have hypertension or high blood pressure. If our blood sugars aren't able to be controlled, now we have diabetes. If our weight's not regulated, now we have overweight or obesity. And if we can't be protected, then we've got cancer, we've got illness. So how did our piles go from being very well maintained to out of control? And what I have found over the last 20 years is we've got extra assignments. We've got extra assignments that take our focus away from what our bodies were designed to do. So those extra assignments are like your boss coming into you and giving you extra assignments. So if you go to work and you've got your to-do piles, if your boss comes in day after day, multiple times a day, your piles are getting pushed to the back and you're not able to keep up. And then those little piles become big piles. So we're not going to fix it if we don't know how it got broken in the first place. So we've got to figure out what are these extra assignments? What is taking our body away from doing what we're supposed to be doing? So these extra assignments are things like stress, environmental factors, chemicals and pesticides, GMOs, which are genetically modified organisms, and food allergies. And I'm going to break each one of these down for you. So we'll start with stress. And stress comes in many different shapes and sizes. Sometimes it's good stress, sometimes it's bad stress. The thing with stress is we don't always have control over that. So it makes it a little bit harder. We don't know when we're going to be hit with stress sometimes, but what we do have control over is how do we handle... This is not me. We do have control over how we handle it. So I stuck some don'ts and do's on here, and we don't want to stress eat. Many people end up doing the emotional eating, which makes you feel good temporarily, but then you feel bad later. Alcohol, although, you know, plenty of people will drink one or two drinks in the evening to help them wind down, I'm not against that. We don't want to go into excessive drinking. It creates more problems. The news, I worry about some of the stuff on the news. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, and especially when you're already going through some stressors. Yell and scream, I guess that depends where you're at, whether that's okay to do. We had a patient call in once, got a little frustrated on the phone, said, "I'm gonna scream, I will hang up and call you back." She told me she hung up the phone, screamed, felt better, called us back and was fine. So I guess that would be okay. But I wouldn't recommend throwing or breaking things. Things that you can do would be exercise. Yoga is a great way to relax. Meditation or prayer would be fantastic. One of my favorites is a relaxing bath, and I would recommend that you throw your own little bath together. If you get Epsom salts, baking soda, and I put lavender oil on here because it's known to be a relaxing oil. But you can use, if you're doing a bath in the morning and you want it to wake you up, throw a little bit of peppermint oil in there. The benefit to the bath is, the Epsom salts and the baking soda is that it's safe for your body. Epsom salt is actually magnesium salts, and magnesium's a natural relaxer. So if we look at a lot of the bubble baths out there, there's a lot of chemicals in that, and you're gonna see later why I would not recommend those. So, and if all else fails, we do have a sign-up kit that you can purchase these. I'm just joking, they're not recommended. So environmental factors are another area where we really don't have a lot of control over these. Allergies, we've got dust, pollen, trees, grass, and we do have some control in whether we can avoid them, but we can't put you in a bubble. Pollution, outdoor air quality, if you've got a smoky car somewhere nearby, I wouldn't stand there and inhale the exhaust. Groundwater quality, there's a lot of question the safety of the water with all the prescriptions going down the water, the sinks and the toilet. I've also read even on well water, depending on what's going in the ground around well water, that some of that has become contaminated. Natural hazards, we've got diseases from animals or insects. And again, these, we don't have a lot of control over these. But what we can do is try to support the immune system so that we're less likely to have these as an extra assignment. So chemicals, and I'd like to spend some time here. When you start reading labels, you're going to see a lot of these in ingredients. Partially hydrogenated oils, you've probably heard of as trans fats. A good number of those have already been pulled from your foods. However, if there's less than a certain percentage, they're allowed to put zero trans fats. If you see partially hydrogenated oils, you've got to still avoid it. The way they get around that is if it's a certain percentage for a serving size, they're allowed to put zero. So even if you might sit there and eat four servings, which would then equal a dangerous amount, they're still meeting that criteria for a single serving. Aspartame and sucralose, those are artificial sweeteners. The interesting story about sucralose is, and sucralose is Splenda. Interesting story there is sucralose was made initially to be a pesticide. Two chemists were working on this, and the one chemist said to the other one to test it. He thought she said taste it, and tasted it, and found that it was sweet, and within a short time it was in our food. Ants will not eat Splenda. They will eat aspartame. It is a very effective ant killer. So if you have sweet and low or equal at home, you could certainly use that to kill your ants. The sucralose you can use, but you have to mix it with apple juice or some kind of juice to get them to eat it. MSG, you've probably heard of. It's been taken out of a lot of the Chinese foods. It was actually removed from baby foods because it was causing damage to the brainstem in infants. I put next to it in parentheses natural flavors because the food manufacturers are able to include it under natural flavors, and they don't have to tell us that MSG is in it. If you eat something that gives you that firework, like, wow, this is really good, it's probably got MSG in it. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein can actually contain MSG as well. The BHA and BHT are preservatives. They've been banned in other countries. They tend to create behavior problems in children. Actually, all of these can. If you know or if you have know somebody who has asthma or hives, those patients really have to be careful with the BHA and BHT because they're extra sensitive to that. The acesulfame and potassium, if you chew sugar-free gum, not only will you have aspartame in that, but there's probably the acesulfame and potassium. The potassium bromate a lot of times is in your bread products. The sodium nitrate and nitrate, when you eat those, your body converts it to nitrosamines, which is cancer-causing. All of these chemicals, if you Google these, have a potential to cause cancer. So not only do they cross the blood-brain barrier and can create problems with your neurons, but they can also increase your susceptibility of cancer. Funny story with the sodium benzoate, and actually the product was potassium benzoate, and my daughter came home and said, I drank this drink that had potassium benzoate in it. It's not one of the 12. Is that okay for you? And I said, well, probably not, but let's Google this. It is actually the chemical that they put in a firecracker that creates the whistle noise. This was in the drink. It was a fizzy drink. Yeah, and artificial colors. Anytime you see blue 1, yellow 5, red, you want to avoid that. And I am shocked at where they stick those artificial colors. Pickles, yellow dye number 5. Yellow dye number 5 has been linked to ADD. In fact, the thought is it causes 5% of children will have ADD symptoms due to yellow dye number 5. Mac and cheese has yellow dye number 5, favorite meal for kids. But it's also in a lot of pickles when I look at those. I was at the grocery store the other day. I'm not sure why I picked up marshmallow fluff, but I read the ingredients. And it had blue number 1 in it. Marshmallow fluff is white. Not sure why the blue number 1 was in there. But artificial colors are actually made from petroleum. So think about that when you're drinking your Gatorade, your Powerade. You know, that's a lot of petroleum, and I wouldn't recommend you drinking petroleum. I put sugar and high fructose corn syrup on there in different colors. They're not part of the Dirty Dozen, and we do have that sheet for you here. But I wanted to include those because I do think that they've been so chemically altered that they should fall into the chemical group. If you read an article from Alan Spreen, who's a medical doctor, he states that the sugar molecule is very similar to the poison molecule. So I think we're slowly poisoning ourselves with this. It's not the sugar that you get from the sugar cane fields. If you go to the sugar cane fields, yank sugar out of the field and chomp on that, you could most likely chew on that all day, every day, every year, and not end up with diabetes and the illnesses we have today. It's the refining process that has completely destroyed our sugar. High fructose corn syrup came to play around 1975. It is a cheap source of sugar. It's very addictive. Your body doesn't feel full after it eats it, so you'll continue to eat when you have the high fructose corn syrup. A study done with rats showed 100% of the rats became obese when given sugar and high fructose corn syrup in their water. or not sugar, I'm sorry, high fructose corn syrup in their water, 100% became obese, versus the sugar and water group, 80% became obese. High fructose corn syrup, another added note there, we see a significant increase in fatty liver disease. High fructose corn syrup, when you eat that, your body looks at it the same way as it looks at alcohol. So we've got a lot of people developing liver disease that don't drink. This is a big part of that. So, and the information is out there. I threw this up here just to show you that it's out there. It's just not on billboards. You know, who wants you to know this stuff? You'll start looking at what you're eating. And really, what I tell my patients is there's really no money in getting you well. Over-the-counter prescriptions are actually $17 billion industry and thought to hit $70 billion by 2020. So pesticides, and I call this first group where you see the list under bioorganic is also called the Dirty Dozen. The other list of 15 is known as the Clean 15. So, and we have this list in the back for you as well. Very, very important that you buy those 12 organic. There are so many chemicals and pesticides and herbicides and fungicides being put on our foods. Some of the studies showing over 50 to 80 chemicals on a single produce. And let me show you. So for instance, strawberries, and this comes from the USDA website, 6 are known carcinogens, 16 are hormone disruptors, and you'll start to hear the term endocrine disruptors more and more because we're finding the chemicals are falling into that category. Endocrine, when we send people to endocrinologists, they deal with hormones, thyroid, diabetes, testosterone, the hormones that our body should be maintaining, part of that stack on our desk that should be maintained all by itself. So these chemicals are actually contributing to that. So when you eat strawberries and you think, wow, I'm eating something healthy, unfortunately, if you're not buying the organic, you may not be getting something as healthy as you think. Now, I will tell you this, and I brought a visual for you. When I go to the grocery store and I look at these strawberries that are, yeah, they look the same. You've got this container of strawberries, but the organic strawberries are $2 to $3 more. I'm like, you know, that adds up over time. Now, what if the food manufacturers had to put a list of chemicals underneath the strawberries that were not organic? Now, would it be a little bit easier to buy the organic? So I'm not sure that we're, this isn't even the 50, 45, we just threw some on here. But if you visualize the list of chemicals, it makes that $2, $3 extra dollars a little easier to digest. What's that? Literally, yeah, no pun intended. But we look here, and even I want to point out the developmental or reproductive toxins. These chemicals actually cross the blood-brain barrier a lot easier in younger children. So we're feeding our children things that are much more easily soaking into their brains, and it's affecting them. And we wonder why we see the 400% increase in ADD and why we see the 1,500% increase in autism. Apples, 47, and same thing there. We see, you know, just a list of where the human health effects are. Cucumbers with 86. Yeah, cucumbers are really easy to grow on your own, and I would definitely encourage you, get a garden going. Any space that you have, it is not too late to start that, and oftentimes you can do these as fall crops as well. So your kale, your beans, your peas can all be done as fall crops and will grow beautifully into the early winter season. Grapes. So I would recommend, and again, we've got the list of the Dirty Dozen for you. I would take that to your grocery store every time you go, make a whole bunch of copies. Every time you go to the customer service and tell them, we want these 12 organic. We want to be able to come to this grocery store, not have to travel all over the place to find these. We want these organic. And hopefully we start to see the other ones out the door. Yeah. Yeah, so what I want to point out here, and I'm going to actually play that one more time. Look at what they're wearing. So we've got our fields being sprayed. They're wearing hazmat suits. And then we've got a sign in front of a strawberry field that says, danger, pesticides. We eat this food. So this is a little bit lengthy. My son, who's in college, told me that this is not recommended to put this many words on one slide, but there was nothing I could cut out, so bear with me. 80,000 chemicals are registered for the use in the United States, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, approves an estimated 1,700 more a year with very little screening. We often assume that if no warning has appeared stating that a chemical is harmful, that must mean it's benign, when nothing could be further from the case. The 1976 Toxic Substances Control Act requires that new chemical compounds to be tested for negative health effects before approval only if evidence of potential harm already exists, which is rarely the case for the brand new chemicals. The FDA approves about 90% of these new compounds without restrictions. So if we go back to, we assume that if no warnings appear, we trust. And we trust that the food we're getting is safe for us, and it's not. So if we want to protect you, we want to protect your families, we want to protect your children, and this is how you're going to do it. And what I have found over the last 20 years is that although sometimes my patients think I'm crazy, this is how I get them better. And here's a shocking statement. Researchers found an alarming cocktail of 287 industrial chemicals and pollutants in the fetal cord blood of 10 newborn infants. So fetal cord blood, we know what that is. It's a newborn baby. Blood was extracted from the cord, and they found 287 chemicals already. And it's not going to get any lower if we continue to put the chemicals. We're approving 1,700 chemicals every year. Stop buying it. So I threw this on here. This has nothing to do with food, but I wanted to also make you aware that there's chemicals, the 80,000 chemicals are not all in your food. Some of this is in the products that we use, which is why when I said about the bath, to do your own mixture of bath salts, which is going to be safer for your body. The first label here is deodorant, and we just boxed out the ask your doctor if you have kidney disease. Nobody thinks to do that. It's the aluminum usually in the deodorant. This is toothpaste. So if you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, get medical help or contact a poison control center immediately. Toothpaste. What's interesting is somehow whitening toothpaste made its way into my house. I have 5 teenagers at home. So I'm standing there brushing my teeth with my fluoride-free toothpaste, and I'm looking at this container of whitening toothpaste, and I look at it, and it says, do not use for more than 2 weeks. Are you kidding me? Who only brushes their teeth for 2 weeks? And if you're using a whitening toothpaste, your goal is to continue to use the whitening toothpaste. And this is on mouthwash. And again, if it's accidentally swallowed, to contact poison control. Oftentimes, your mouthwash will have artificial sweeteners in it and colors. So watch that. So my concern is we've got all these chemicals and pesticides out there. And the studies that I've read are done on individual products. So if we think back to chemistry class, and we've got this beaker, and we've got this beaker, and they're fine as long as we keep them apart. But what happens when we combine them? That's what happens. And we don't know what those combinations are. They're not studied in combinations. There was a story, and I tried to find it so I could give you a little bit more definite information. But the story goes that there were frogs that were found dead along a stream. And when they looked at the water supply, they found a couple chemicals in it. So they went to the chemical companies and they said, you know, your chemicals are killing these frogs. So each company did their own independent study. And the result was, no, wasn't my chemical. The other company said, well, it wasn't my chemical. So by themselves, that chemical was safe. But when they got together somehow in that stream, they killed the frogs. So to shock you just a little bit more, if we take 3,000 chemicals, which we know are in use in our foods, and we combine every possible chemical, just two of them, we have over almost 4.5 million possible interactions. Guaranteed they weren't studied together. If we add three chemicals, we've got over 4.5 billion. And if we add four chemicals, we've got 3 trillion. Think back to the standard American diet that I showed you. How many chemicals was in just one, in just the hash browns or just the hot dog? You had more than 3 to 4 chemicals in just one. Now imagine how many of those we combine every day, day after day. All right, GMO. And when you see GMO, I want you to think OMG, and that's really important. GMO is genetically modified organisms. The top three GMO foods are wheat, corn, and soy. So let me tell you first what GMO is. What happens with genetically modified foods is the food manufacturers take the DNA from the plant and they combine it with something else. The DNA, and in wheat, for instance, is a pesticide molecule. So we've got wheat out there that's got a pesticide molecule attached to it. These are things that would never, ever, ever combine by themselves in nature. I saw Dr. Oz a few weeks ago. They were talking about tomatoes that they're combining with fish scales so that they will be able to last through the winter months. So my concern there would be if we have somebody who's allergic to fish, do we now start seeing allergies to tomatoes and we don't know why? But my bigger concern with genetically modified food is that they're creating foreign proteins. Our bodies don't recognize these proteins. The next slide is just a tad graphic. My reason for this, these are splinters. So if I took a foreign body, I apologize for this, but I had to get my point across. If I took a foreign body and stuck it in your arm, your body is not going to leave it there. It's going to produce a reaction. It's going to become inflamed. It's going to produce pus, and it's going to push it out. So when we eat genetically modified foods, these are foreign proteins, foreign bodies. We're eating this, and although we don't see this, I'll change this. Although we don't see that, our bodies recognize it, and it's creating a lot of chaos, which brings me to this slide. What I want you to think with this slide is, picture yourself walking through a field and you stumble across a bee's nest. All of a sudden, you've got 1,000 bees after you. What are you gonna do? Your arms are flailing. Now, I see that you've got 1,000 bees stinging you and I come over to help you. Guess what? You're whacking me. Why are you whacking me? I'm there to help you. Why are you whacking me? You're whacking me because you are in such a state of chaos, you don't know what to do. And I believe that that's why we see this significant increase in autoimmune disease. Remember, we're up to 1 in 12, and I think that's climbing. I think our bodies are so chaotic, we don't know what to attack anymore. Thyroid disease is number one illness. Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune illness, multiple sclerosis, lupus, fibromyalgia, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. There are pages of autoimmune illness. We shouldn't be attacking ourselves. We weren't created to attack ourselves. Something is wrong. And certainly there's pills to correct that, but you're not going to correct it long term. And people with autoimmune illness are more prone to additional autoimmune illnesses, which I believe is because we don't get to the root cause of the first one. This is what you're looking for when you're buying your food, especially anything with wheat, corn, and soy. You want to look for this non-GMO symbol. So that'll verify that you're getting something that's not been genetically modified. And there is a big push right now to try to label all foods that are genetically modified. that they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Food allergies is probably one of my favorite subjects to talk about. So the symptoms that you're seeing coming up here are all symptoms that can be due and treated by eliminating food allergies. So one of the questions I get or comments I get is, really, food allergies can do this? Most people know what an anaphylactic reaction is. So an anaphylactic reaction is a massive allergic reaction that can kill within 16 minutes to 2 hours. So if you are allergic to a strawberry, you can potentially be dead in 16 minutes. A food can be that powerful if you're reacting to it. Now, the food allergies I'm talking about are different. They're IgG allergies, so they tend to be more hidden. Because obviously, if you eat a strawberry and you can't breathe and it takes an EpiPen to reverse the effect, you're probably not going to be tempted to eat that again. But these hidden food allergies are very quiet. They're very tricky, and you don't get those obvious reactions. The three most common food allergies, and I'm going to let you guess for these. My hint is this. The three foods that disappear when a snowstorm is coming. You go to the grocery store, and what three foods are off the shelf? Bread, milk, and eggs. So it's really easy to remember. So any of those symptoms, anytime you have symptoms, especially any of those ones that came up, and there's actually over 100 illnesses that are linked to food allergies, start connecting the dots. Your body's telling you something. We just don't know how to connect those dots. So dairy, wheat, and eggs are the top three. And let me tell you why I think we've got such a significant increase in food allergies. Remember, we're 400% higher than we were a couple decades ago. So if we picture a sink, picture throwing chemicals down that sink day after day, year after year. And I showed you all the chemicals that are in our foods. So what happens to the pipe after a few years? It starts to corrode. So we've got a picture of that in the middle. Now, if we've got a kitchen sink and we're also throwing food down the sink, the foods that get thrown down that sink the most are the ones most likely to sneak on the outside, and now you've created a food allergy. And dairy, wheat, and eggs tend to be the foods that we consume the most of. In other countries, you might see rice as the top. You might see soy, depending on what their primary foods are. So, I hear a lot of patients say, well, I know I'm not allergic to eggs because I eat eggs every day and I don't have any problems. Okay. So, what I want you to think about is this bacon story. When you make bacon, you cook it, a couple hours later, you see the mailman, you go outside to get your mail, you walk back inside, and you're like, oh, I still smell bacon. Let me tell you something. It smelled like bacon the last 3 hours. You just didn't notice the smell of bacon because your body downplayed that reaction. So what happens is when we eat eggs, dairy, wheat, or any of these food allergies on a regular basis, your body may not give you an obvious reaction. What we need you to do is walk away from it, get rid of them for 2 to 3 weeks, and challenge your system. Add it back and see if you react. It'll be a much more obvious reaction when you add them back. So the other thing, the other comment I get from patients is when they come back and I've said, okay, I want you to avoid milk for the next 3-4 weeks and I'm going to see you back, and they'll come back in and they'll say, well, I avoided it, most of it, and I don't feel any different. Okay, if you're allergic to cats and I've got 10 cats in a room, I'm going to get rid of most of them. I'm going to take 8 cats out. Are you reacting? You are. So most of it, when we're dealing with food allergies, doesn't cut it. You have to get rid of all of it in order to reduce the inflammation and get you better. We live in a world where we believe everything in moderation is okay, and it's not. Yeah, I don't make very many friends saying this. This, I wanted to throw up there, this would be the food allergy kit that we run on patients. Unfortunately, insurances don't cover it. probably, my guess is because there's no medicine to fix it. But it's helpful. And you'll see on this one, we've got dairy off the chart. So we've got the three main ones. We've got dairy off the chart, we've got eggs, and we've got all of the wheat off the chart. The nice thing about doing the food allergy testing is some of these other ones that I wouldn't have been able to pick up that were maybe still going in the body on a regular basis. So oranges, you know, we drink orange juice, we eat oranges. Bananas, a lot of people say, oh, I eat banana every day for breakfast. I thought it was good for my potassium. Well, it is if you're not reacting to it. So I've had a number of patients where this has been the final puzzle piece to getting them well. So this is another analogy that is one of my favorite, and my patients also, most of them will know this too. So the don't spill the beans game, does everybody know that? Because my younger patients have no idea what I'm talking about. No. So the don't spill the beans game looks just like this. Everybody sits around with a little bean and they throw a bean in the pot. And eventually one bean is going to tip you over and then you're the loser. But one bean is not what tipped it over. It was the accumulation of beans that tipped it over. So when I have somebody come into me with an illness, you've tipped over. My job then is to figure out what tipped you over. What can we start pulling from that pot? Can we start pulling pesticides? Can we start pulling chemicals? Can we start pulling food allergens? I do want to have you notice the stress bean is very big compared to the other beans. And I find that the stress bean is definitely weighs much more than the other beans. You'll notice when you have a stressor in your life that it's not uncommon afterwards that you're sick, that you get a cold sore. Sometimes we see when family members pass away that their widows will end up with a cancer within 6 months. It's that extreme stress now tips them over. So, and again, remember, we can't always avoid the stressors. So if we can at least work on these, then when the stress bean comes, we may not tip over and fall over. Okay. Anybody feeling a little toxic? So my recommendation, and I'm going to go back to this, notice the color. Notice, I think these actually just make you feel like you're dragged down. I know when I look at them, I feel, oh, greasy. And if we can swap it for these, there's a lot of color, there's a lot of nutrition, there's a lot of health, and you can see it in those foods. I'm not seeing too many people looking like this. I'm surprised. I thought with this amount of information, I would see people wanting to pull their hair out, but you guys look like you're good. What I'd like to show you is this house, another analogy, and some of you are at the point where we've got this house on the end, where we're kind of broken down, we've got some fixing up that needs to be done. This one's pretty well maintained, and the other one's really, I mean, we're going for optimum maintenance here. So if we've got this, we're not going to get to this or this overnight. It takes time. So when you start making these changes, don't expect your body to be instantly better a week from now. Well, I did this for a week and I'm no better. It's going to take time. But our goal is to keep going in that direction. Let's get to this house, and then eventually we're going to get you to that optimum level of health. One of the things I want to mention with this desk analogy is oftentimes I'll have people come back in and say, well, I feel good, but I haven't lost any weight, or I've lost 2 pounds, my husband's lost 17 pounds. And usually what I'll say to them is, well, what was on your desk to start? And normally I get, oh, okay. So we've got to think of, you know, what's on your desk, what's on your friend's desk, what's on somebody else's desk. And your body, trust your body to start working on the pile that's of highest importance. We would not pick the right pile. We would go right to the metabolism or the weight pile. Weight is not going to kill you. The other factors could. So your body, so if after a month you notice, yeah, I feel good, I'm not seeing the weight come off. What usually happens is people will come in and say, well, I eliminated all the foods I like. I'm not doing this anymore. And they go right back to doing what they were doing. And here, their bodies were so diligent in working off those piles. They just didn't get to the pile that you wanted to get to first. Does that make sense? So these are two of my favorite sayings. I would have these painted on the walls in my room if I could. He that takes medicine and neglects diet wastes the skill of the physician, and the wise man should consider that health is the greatest of human blessings. Let food be your medicine. So hopefully through this presentation, you've realized that food is very powerful in two regards. It can either promote health or it can deteriorate your health. To sum this up, or to finish off here, I do want to let you know that when I was in high school trying to decide whether I wanted to go into the medical field or not, my other thought was I was going to be a teacher. So patients of mine know that they very rarely get out of my room without a little sticky note with suggested reading on it. So I wanted to point these out. And if you're interested in reading, these are some of my favorite books. The NDD diet, I think everyone with children should read. It's the nutrition deficit diet. It's really good for anyone who has children with ADD, anyone with learning disabilities, and very, very easy reading. You'll read this probably in 2 to 3 days. Hidden Food Allergies, excellent book. It will really enlighten you on some of the increase in problems we're seeing. Anyone with history of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, there is a connection between food allergies and addiction. So that would be a fantastic book to read. Healing the New Childhood Epidemics, it's called the 4 A's, allergies, autism, ADD, and asthma. Excellent book, a little bit thicker, you're going to take a little bit more time to read that, but if you have anyone in your family with any of those 4 illnesses, really critical to read that. The Immune System Recovery Plan would be for anyone who wants to hit that optimum level of health, but also I recommend it to every patient of mine who has an autoimmune illness. Susan Blum has a history of hypothyroidism, which was due to an autoimmune illness. So she's actually lived it. Very easy reading, but again, another book that is going to take some time to get through, but worth reading. Your Food is Fooling You, very easy book to read. You'll probably read that in a couple of days. David Kessler was the former head of the FDA, so he has the inside scoop. A little bit irritating to read what he has to say, but I think it'll enlighten you into why you need to make these changes. The Ultramind Solution, anything Mark Hyman writes, I think would be worth reading. The Ultramind Solution is one of the first books I read that really made me realize the impact that food has on our bodies. The front of his book actually has a pill container with broccoli coming out of it. Anyone who's dealing with anxiety, depression, OCD, any mental illness really should get that book. Dangerous Grains and Wheat Belly actually will both talk about the problems with the wheat in our society today. Excellent reading there. Okay, and that's all I have. Thank you so much. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer questions.